Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back is 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's always a pleasure. You're going to be glad you hung out with me today, folks, because this is the day that Joan Pride joins us. As you know, Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and our good friend. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back.
Good. Thank you. Good to be back.
Joan, if I'm trying to use an analogy for the economy, for the overall global and national economy, you know, from a macro standpoint, and I guess the best thing I could say would be that if the United States were I'm talking primarily about the United States economy and the forces that are there, if it were a person, it would probably need counseling. The psychologist would determine that it had some off the scale form of schizophrenia. And probably would become like a case study that would be written up think about this. We had an incredible GDP growth, over 4%, almost 4% in the third quarter. We created 166 jobs last month.
Million.
We got, 166,000 jobs last month. And we got, the economy's not doing all that bad. The tech stocks are up. Other stocks are down. We got housing meltdown. The dollar is falling through the floor. And who was it that took a $39 billion? Who was it that took that yesterday? How am I forgetting this? Somebody took a GM took a $39 billion write down for the third quarter. On and on and on. We got all kinds of different things going on. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
Well, so do we think the economy is going well or not going well? Is there any way? Is there any way to measure it properly?
It depends.
Or not?
It depends on what minute you're asking the question.
Yeah.
And who you're asking. I'm telling you, this is the schizophrenic part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, and you know, Joan, that kind of multiple aspect to this thing, all the different indicators that don't connect at all, really, is what frightens me more than anything.
Right, I agree.
The housing thing, you know what? We're gonna ride through that. We're gonna write that off, and you know, we made a profit, and it was many of those profits were really, in my opinion, illegitimate because that business should never have been written.
Right.
We're gonna work through that. Oil prices, I don't know where oil prices are going to go, but the dollar thing is starting to worry a lot of people, John.
Well, I think it should be. I was just reading this morning in the paper that China and maybe other governments want to move their investments out of dollars into something that will get them a better return.
Mm-hmm.
And that should definitely worry the United States.
Well, exactly, because I saw this week that we receive $3 billion a day in people buying our currency, so to speak, to the tune of $3 billion a day, which is what is financing our current account deficit with regard to trade.
Right.
And you being our currency expert, John,
oh, no.
I'm going to expect you to sort all this out. But you know, John, I mean, think about this, and I've been trying to figure out how to explain this in a way that I can understand it. You know, and people who don't deal with these things all the time understand it. The money that people spend, the investment that people make in dollars is in our treasury bills, right?
Right.
You're a bond expert.
Uh-huh.
It's in our treasury bills. And
yeah,
they want those treasuries not only to have a decent return, but for the currency that they're in to not be depreciating against other currencies.
Right.
They don't want to buy, say, $1 million worth of securities, worth of treasury stocks, with the treasury bills, and have those bills be worth less against the euro 6 months from now than they do now. Plus, Mr. Bernanke lowered interest rates, so the yield is probably going to go down
right.
a little bit.
And up until recently, you never had to worry about something like that. You never had to worry about the U.S. dollar being lower than, say, the Canadian dollar, for example.
Right.
Never.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now I heard somebody compare our dollar to the peso the other day. That's a little bit of disrespect there, I think.
But, yeah.
But and of course, Joan, the coup de grace. I mean, the thing that's probably going to be the tipping point. We'd heard this week that Giselle, the world's top model, top supermodel, refused to have her payment come to her in dollars.
Really?
Did you hear about that? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that. Ooh.
Giselle, yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is a supermodel who's dissing our currency. That's got to be the tipping point, John. What do you
think?
Well,
and what worries me is then it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. So did you ever see the movie Rollover?
No.
In 1980 or 81 or so, when you were only probably in junior high,
right?
There was a movie called Rollover, and it was about some of the kind of things that we're talking about right now. It was where the people who had their money it was back when you know the Middle Easterners had all their money over here because of all the oil we'd bought them. They basically brought that money that we gave them over here and bought our stuff back in the 70s and early 80s. When they decided to pull all that out of our system all at once, and it was a frightening movie. I mean, the possibility of that being a reality was pretty scary. They ought to resurrect that movie somehow. I don't even know if you can still find it anywhere, but it's called Rollover, and so there's some real concern right now, isn't there, Joan, that could happen?
Oh, I think there is. I do.
Of course, I also have been told that the Chinese have threatened to do this before. They've threatened to, you know, pull out of the dollar before.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. And
I'm
so,
not surprised.
So
yeah.
Who knows? But that is a concern. Joan, what about manufacturing? The low dollar, the dollar being down has helped manufacturing, hasn't it?
It's helped manufacturing, but if you're talking about what we're saying in the letter, is that what you're referring
yeah.
to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we say they're ramping down output because they're reacting to more sluggish profit growth.
Well, and see that's not good. That makes no sense because the truth is the more the dollar declines, the better that is for manufacturing. So
you mean
so
in terms of exports?
Yeah, in terms of business. I mean, and because the consumers abroad, customers abroad. Want our stuff, and if we're cheaper than somebody else because of the exchange rate, that's good for me. But my point is, you're saying that they're ramping down. That's another negative.
Right.
They ought to be rocking and rolling right now, not ramping down.
Yeah.
20 after. We're going to be right back with Joan Pryde. We've got more to come. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And the first one is where you can, by the way, that's a 10-year-old website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can find the show that we simulcast on the internet, that we replay every day, the full show, and also the individual interviews are within an hour of me going off the air. The individual interviews are available for podcasting. And you can go back and get shows that we've done all the way back. We started keeping them, like collecting them in 1999. All of those are podcastable now. And also, don't forget to read you got lots of articles you can read about any topic under the sun on small business that either I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. You can check out our blog is there. We update that every weekday. The newsletter, you can subscribe to it there, which we send to you every Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Lots of good stuff there. You can find my books there, by the way, as well. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. That's .biz. Joan Pryde is our guest. We're talking to her about what the Kiplinger folks are having to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, you guys on the front page here, you talk about some of the menacing jokers in the economic deck. I love the way Kiplinger turns the phrase, ladies and gentlemen. But you talk about the crippling oil prices. I paid $3 a gallon for gas this week.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning. It's, as you know, oil closed yesterday. It didn't make 100 again. I think it dropped back. It was I think above 98 and dropped back to about 96. But we're hovering around the $100 mark, and that's not even supposed to be the end of it.
Joan, once they test $100, which I think we're basically doing now, once $100 a barrel is tested, I think we'll never recover from that. I fear, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But remember when gasoline first went to $1 a gallon, and everybody just sort of took everybody's breath away.
Right.
And we didn't have enough gas. We had a low oil gas supply back when before we got to $1. I've forgotten what year that was. Probably 20 years or so ago, maybe more. Anyway. But once gasoline got to $1, it never went below $1 after that. Somehow, miraculously, once gasoline got to be $1, we had lots of gasoline. We had plenty of gasoline at $1, but we didn't have enough gasoline at 95 cents.
Right.
And so I think once we get to 100, And even though a lot of the gasoline price today, Joan, is built in because of speculation of what's, you know, some of the problems that we're having in the Middle East and everything, I think we're looking at high prices because of the growth in demand in places like India and China.
Well, that's true. But I just don't know how our economy can absorb these prices. At what point? It seems to be doing it so far, but I'm kind of worried about where the tipping point is in this kind of situation.
Well, you're exactly right, but Joan, I don't see any relief in sight because I was talking to Beverly Inman Ebel. She just got back from China. In the United States, we have five cities that are over 4 million people. In China, there are 246 or so cities with over 4 million people.
Gee.
The middle class in China, which are the kind of people who buy cars,
right,
is the size of the United States population, every man, woman, and child.
Yeah. And they're at the point in their economy where they're just being able to buy things and really become a consumer economy. So they're excited about doing it, and they're doing a lot of it.
And they love it, and don't forget, petroleum, they don't just have to buy a car to consume petroleum.
Oh, that's right.
And so so my point is the demand for petroleum is increasing significantly, not leveling off, and the supply, Joan, we already know the supply is a challenge.
Sure.
So, you know, I saw something yesterday. I don't know if you watch Kudlow's show on CNBC.
No.
Larry Kudlow show. It's a good program. And anyway, he put up some charts yesterday, Joan, that showed in constant dollars, adjusted for inflation, what the price of oil is today and what the price of gold is today. And what they were saying is that gold, say 1980, should have been, based on today's dollar, should have been 1400. Not now, it's over 800. They're saying gold, although people are wringing their hands about gold, it's still cheap compared to where it was in, say, 1980.
Huh.
But guess what isn't still cheap compared to 1980?
Oil.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
That chart, in other words, it showed, it established gold at $1,400 an ounce in 1980, and the chart came down all the way down to where it is now in 2007.
Okay.
Oil started at $80 in 1980 and then moved way down, you know, the last 20-something years, but now it's actually above that.
Oh, no.
Of course, see.
Well, I was afraid
of that. Yeah, it's above 80. That's all I had to do. Oil is at a record pace for petroleum. So that's the scary part.
Boy, I'll say. It's very scary.
And, you know, this is affecting small business owners who use petroleum for delivery purposes for the salespeople on the road. And their employees, all the people who drive to work. Who aren't getting rich? It's a challenge. It's going to take a toll on the holidays. I'm pretty sure. 29 after the hour, we're going to be right back. I'm Jim Blessing, and we're going to try to find some good news in all this right after these messages. Stay with us.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying tuned in. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening, we especially thank you for that. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, I got this. Here's the big question.
Uh-oh.
The R word.
Oh, yeah.
All these schizophrenic things we've been talking about.
Yeah.
More subprime shoes are dropping. Subprime shoes are dropping every day.
Right.
And of course the good news, if there is any good news, these guys are going to do their best to get these things cleared up in 07.
Oh, sure.
Fiscal 07 at least, so they can get them. Now that we know that the damage has been done, let's go ahead.
Fiscal 07 is over.
Okay. Yeah. Unless it's for the government,
I don't know. Maybe other.
Unless it's December 31st.
I see.
Unless
okay.
So there's some corporations that have a calendar year, thing. But still, they're going to try to get rid of those things. Now that we know that they're there, now that we know that the shoe is there, let's go ahead and drop it and get it off next year, so we don't have to deal with it next year. But with all these challenges that you and I were talking about, what does Kiplinger say about the possibility of a recession in 08?
Well, we say we don't expect one, although we admit that the danger is there. And what I find interesting is that we say that even if risks don't become realities, we say that a psychology of fear could bring a big chill.
In other words, we can talk ourselves into one.
Exactly.
Which is what I've been worried about.
Right, me too.
Yeah, I've been worried about that because the talking heads, you know, and in New York who the stock analysts and all those guys, you know, you never hear them talk about products and customers. You only hear them talking about balance sheets and guidance and stuff like that, and moving rolling averages and stuff like that. You don't hear them talking about, you know, Main Street where the rubber meets the road, where customers and salespeople meet and make things happen.
Right.
And I think that's where, Joan, I think that's part of our problem. Is those guys don't understand the real world. You know, small business owners and the people in the marketplace, we're not emotional beasts. We don't, you know, if you think about it, look at the stock market could swing 400 points in from one day to the next, right?
Oh, sure.
We don't do that on Main Street.
Right.
And so my advice to small business owners out there is, guys, check your position, check with your customers, see what's going on. Don't listen to the stock analysts on Wall Street. Did you see who was it yesterday? Some company, Cisco, blew their profit numbers through the roof. It was incredible what they did
with
profits, and yet their sales, they didn't meet their sales number, and their stock got hammered.
Oh no.
Now, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
Joan, if I went to my banker and I showed him how much more profitable I was on not a whole lot more sales, he would throw a party for me.
Right.
He wouldn't say, I'm not going to loan you any more money. He would throw a party for me and ask me how much I needed.
Yeah, sure.
And see, that's the kind of bass-ackward thinking that we've got in on Wall Street.
Yeah, it's true.
And it really irritates me. And those folks, don't let these guys talk us. Let's not talk ourselves into a recession here. Joan,
but
let's move over.
I think the danger is there, as you point out.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move over and talk about business travel. If you bought any airline tickets lately, you probably got shocked, haven't you?
I think so, I'm afraid. It's getting more expensive, and you kind of had to figure that it would, given the surge in oil prices.
Yeah. Well, I saw a report the other day that said that the airlines were definitely ratcheting up their prices. They had to recover some of the oil prices.
Right. That's
so
right.
So the days of cheap... We've got some travel coming up for which we'd bought tickets a while back that probably weren't too high. But I talked to a friend yesterday who bought some tickets has bought some recently, and he was shocked at the price.
Oh no.
So air travel the price is going to go up, but you guys report that the travel itself might be improving a little bit. Tell us about that.
Well, as you know, passengers have been complaining bitterly about delays, crummy service, and you name it. I can talk more about this after the break, but things are going to get a whole lot better, we think.
Well, and if you're traveling overseas, gird your loins and put some extra money away, because with the dollar doing what it's doing, it's the euro and the dollar is ridiculous right now. 22, we're right back with Joan Price. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she and I are talking about what's going on in the world these days based on what Kiplinger reported this week. And folks, you can find the stuff that we talk about with Joan on. Of course, you don't find Joan and me talking about it, but you do. You can find the stuff we talk about at Kiplinger.com, and some of it's there for free. Some of it requires a subscription, which you can take advantage of, a 30-day free trial. And they've got one weekly letter, the flagship, which is the Kiplinger letter. Then they got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. Those are bought every other week. And those are very similar to the Kiplinger letter, just different cycle. And, of course, then they've got a magazine that Joan's going to tell you about.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what do we find in that magazine, Joan?
Gosh, you name it. You know, it's not just investing, but we might tell you about the best cars to buy this year, a lot about education, funding, and just all sorts of things that you would need to know from a personal finance standpoint.
Everything you'd ever want to know about mutual funds.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
I mean,
anything like that, they got that mm-hmm. stuff. And you can find it on the newsstands, but you can also subscribe. And give us that phone number, John.
Right, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Ask them for the famous Blassingame 30-day free trial. And also, folks, you can subscribe online with your credit card at Kiplinger.com. Joan, the energy situation is getting interesting because, in a negative way, because you guys are reporting a shortage of renewable power looms in the coming years. Now, what are you talking about?
Well, we're saying that demand for, it's kind of ironic, I guess, that demand for alternative power, renewable power, is going up so much that might be in shortage as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying electricity
wind, solar,
produced
geothermal.
From wind, solar, mm-hmm. geothermal, hang on there, I'm getting to it, and biomass. And we were kind of hoping that a lot of this alternative energy would help us replace oil. But if that's going to be in shortage, then I'm not sure what we do.
Joan, you know what I think? Remember when the internet was a fascinating thing, and going to people's websites was a fascinating thing, and it was almost like just because people came to your site made it valuable. And now we realize that the internet is a tool. It's like a delivery truck, and if you don't load it with equipment, if you don't load it with products to sell and deliver it to customers, basically it's an expensive toy.
Right.
And so I feel that we're about to get to the point with these alternative fuels, Joan. You know, it's fascinating to talk about solar. It's fascinating to talk about biofuels, and we're in the expensive stage. We have been in the expensive stage, where we said, okay, we've got to find out what the possibilities are here, and so nothing's too much to spend on this, and you know, this is the way of the future, et cetera, et cetera. But we've been talking about this long enough now, Joan, that somebody needs to start making it happen. See what I mean? Delivering solar, mm-hmm. delivering wind, delivering biomass fuels, whatever, delivering those in a way that's economically feasible. And Joan, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. That's the problem.
I mean, we've got uh, we don't have nearly enough hybrid vehicles and on the roads these days as we need. I don't know what that's going to take. I have to admit I don't own one, but I also have to admit, Joan, I wouldn't be against buying one.
So why don't you own one?
Well, I just haven't bought a car, and since they've really been making them, to be honest with you, and the thing is, Joan, I drive an SUV. I don't mind saying that. I need one. I need an automobile.
You need
that
a big
size.
Gas guzzler.
I do. I need that, Joan.
Okay.
It's important for me to have that.
Okay.
But the thing is, I will tell you this, I rented a big SUV in Houston a month or so ago, and it was a flex fuel vehicle.
Now, what does that mean, flex fuel?
That means it will operate with biofuels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So if I pulled up to a station that had a blend or something like that, it would do that.
Right.
So I would buy a flex. If I buy another SUV, which I intend to do one day, I would buy a flex fuel car.
But were you pulling up to stations that offered?
I didn't do that. No.
See, but that's I think a problem then if it's hard to find.
Exactly. And you know what they're calling them now, don't you?
Calling what?
They're calling these stations that offer biofuels.
No.
Grass stations.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not gas stations, but grass stations. You heard that here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Small Business Advocate Show. You don't get this stuff anywhere else.
Yeah, a lot of entertainment for your radio dollar.
I know. We get a lot of entertainment for your dollar here.
Right.
Okay, Joan, let's move down and talk about. Let's move over and talk about politics over
okay.
on page three.
Okay.
For the Republicans, bad news in Virginia, good news in Mississippi, and what else? Did we lose? Was it Kentucky? Was bad news in Kentucky too? What happened? I forgot.
Well, it depends on which way you look at it. It may
be
Kentucky. Bad news to you and good news to other people.
No, I said for Republicans.
Okay.
Okay. So bad
Kentucky,
news in Kentucky.
The governorship flipped from Republican to Democrat in Kentucky. Missouri held on to their Republican governor, Haley Barbour.
Mississippi.
I'm sorry, Mississippi. Yeah. And in Virginia, the Democrats took over the state Senate, which was kind of amazing to me because Virginia has been pretty much a Republican state for many years, despite the fact that we have a Democrat governor and have had one a time or two in recent years.
Joan, you're part of the state. The northeast portion of Virginia is turning Virginia blue.
You betcha.
Yeah, and you couldn't be happy about that, right?
Oh, I couldn't say that, no.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to talk a little more politics and a couple of other things right after these messages. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, visiting with our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking a little politics right now. We had a bad day for the Republicans in Kentucky, good day in Mississippi, bad day for Republicans in Virginia in terms of the Senate. Joan, let's turn just for the moment. Let's turn to national politics and the presidential race, the primary race. This is off the letter, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I guess you know all about Hillary getting beat up, so to speak, by the boys.
Yes.
During the last
poor
debate.
Hillary. Yes.
And I know you're not a big Hillary fan.
Oh.
But what did you think of her behavior afterwards?
Well, I don't remember her. Was she that upset?
I
was reading sort of the media's take on how they treated her and thinking, why are we – I didn't understand why we were – any front runner is going to be attacked by everybody
right.
else, whether they're
and
man
she
or
said
a woman.
That. And she said that.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
She said that on the one hand, but on the
yeah.
other hand –
Oh, that's right. She said that she was being attacked because she was winning.
Yes. She said that on the one hand, but then on the other hand, she tried to say – She tried to claim that, or some people were trying to claim, I guess, that the boys were being mean to her.
That they were being meaner than they would have to a man, I think, was
yeah.
the claim. But I don't get that. I really
or that
don't.
It was unseemly the way they were treating her. There, you know what, mm-hmm. Joan? I believe in chivalry. I think we need more chivalry in the world.
Yeah.
But there's no chivalry in politics.
No.
It's a blood sport.
I think it's possible they might have even been meaner had she been a man. They might have pulled some punches because she's a woman. You don't know.
They might have held back a little bit, right?
Yeah.
and then we got Richardson, you know, who tried to help her out a little bit there, and now everybody thinks he's running for vice president.
Yeah, right. he might be.
Which he's denying. I heard him deny it actually today.
Because he was in Bill Clinton's cabinet, wasn't he?
Of course.
I think he was Secretary of Energy.
And Ambassador to the UN, as I remember.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and not all that good at either one of those jobs, by the way, But anyway, it's interesting to see this, and Ron Paul is raising money like crazy in the Republican side.
I've heard. And to make things even weirder, Pat Robertson has endorsed Rudy Giuliani.
Did that spin your head around or what?
Well, the only thing only way I can make sense of that is that he's decided that Giuliani is the only person who can beat Hillary.
Yeah. Do you remember, Joan, me predicting about 4 months ago, 5 months ago,
the third party candidate.
Yeah, you remember me predicting that?
Yeah.
And nobody else was predicting that.
Yes, and you know what I predicted?
What?
I predicted an all New York general election.
I remember you did that, and I think that could very well happen.
It's possible.
But now that I've predicted it months ago, people are now starting to talk about the third party candidate. And I said back then, I said the extreme right of the Republican Party will not. Be happy with Giuliani,
right?
The moral majority type, you know, folks, those guys.
And I think that's what worries people like Pat Robertson. See, if you do bring a third party candidate in, I don't see how that can help the Republican candidate.
And Joan, I don't know how many times I've said this before, not many times, but maybe at least once. This is what upsets me about the abortion issue. We have so many serious challenges in this United States.
That's right.
To make that the single pivotal issue
right.
that makes you elect a president or start a new. I mean, if we could have never have had the abortion issue on the political table, we'd be much farther down the road to peace and prosperity if it weren't for those things.
Well, I think that's true. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Sure.
And I mean on both sides of the aisle. I mean, both sides of the aisle have been irrational about this.
Yes.
And much too, it's very unfortunate, and it's very disappointing to me to see how we behaved on this issue.
Right.
Joan, any last thoughts that we got we got five GOP senators running for re-election that are facing tough challenges. Alaska, Stevenson, Alaska, Collins in Maine. She'll be reelected. I'm not worried about that. Coleman in Minnesota. Isn't he running against Al Franken?
Yes, he is.
How's that deal going?
I'm kind of amazed that we're saying he's in a tough race, but it'll be interesting to watch that one.
But is it Al Franken who's going to be the alternative?
Well, we don't know. There's an attorney named Mike Ceresi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, so it could be him.
God help us from a Senator Al Franken. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, you wouldn't like that, would you?
Stick to stand-up, Al. Hey, thanks, Joan, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
I actually like Al Franken as a stand-up, by the way.
Yeah.
Just not as a legislator, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please, not that. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.